Hello and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name's Colin and I play Kewin de Greymont, a paladin from Gavany.
Hi, I'm Spencer. I play Caddo Chasseur, a cleric also from Gavany.
Hi, I'm Brian and I play Ogvar Shorefoot, a ranger from Keswick.
Hi, my name is Samantha and I play Elora Greyvale, a sorcerer from Nephalia. Tasked with a burglary that nobody wants to bungle, the team accept that it is unlikely that it will all happen without any hiccups. However, the heist is looming large. The intel, maps, magical items and disguises to do the deed that must be done are all acquired and awaiting application. Down in the kitchen, it was cookies that had created a very crummy atmosphere when things had come to a holy head as Ruth made Gerhardt grimace by lashing out with a large ladle. Not wishing to wade into the cathedral's crimes against cookies, Ogvar deftly dodged what he believed to be a bullet and declined a biscuit from the barrel, preferring instead to stay safe by engaging in alternative activities such as purchasing a postcard and borrowing the Boots of Leaping. Rowan wildly took to his wings, displaying his prowess, strength, skill, speed, sense of humour, and was not one bit repentant as he nearly took a tumble face first into Elora, who fortunately avoided a potentially painful battering. Episode 85, Heist on the Horizon.
So you all gradually make your way downstairs into the kitchen. In the kitchen, Caddo, you've filtered in there with the other Cathars after morning prayers are over. And hung over the fire, in this big, big iron cauldron, there is a bubbling vat of porridge. So once you've all kind of made your way down, and Ruth has started cooking this fairly early in the morning, but by the time all of you make your way down, this is including Soto because he makes his way down as well, you've all taken up a seat and Ruth begins dishing out bowls of porridge, and she'll fill up a bowl and pass it to the Cathar on her right, and then it'll pass and work its way round the table in kind of like a loop. So by the time, you know, everyone's got a steaming bowl of porridge in front of them, there's a selection of fruits, platters in front of you. And you're more than welcome to kind of, you know, help yourself and put your fruit on. You know, there's a big like pot of honey with one of those honey spoon things on it. And it's this really beautiful, clear, golden honey. So breakfast is served.
Right, Elora will just have her fill of breakfast. She'll just help herself to some fruit and some honey and eat her porridge and that's it. She's done and she's just going to wait for the others.
Yep. So you all have a decent breakfast. It's a very filling breakfast, very hearty meal, nice and warm, piping hot. And Ruth hasn't slacked on filling the bowls. They are very, very full. And yeah. So you now have until 6 o'clock. The party starts at 6, so obviously you've got the rest of the day, or most of the day, for your planning.
Elora will thank Ruth for her offerings.
Yep, she just, no, not to worry, dearie. And as you all kind of filter out and everyone's kind of filtering off to do their daily jobs and do other bits and bobs, Ogvar, you would recognise these two young Cathars, this girl and boy, as they begin to sneak off out the door, Ruth hooks them with the back of their collars and she went, "Not you."
Okay, Ogvar.
She drags them back into the kitchen.
Ogvar just sort of observes, and as they look at him, he just like raises his eyebrows. Whoops.
Yeah, the lad gives you a very rude gesture with his middle finger and gives a bit of a sneer before kind of almost freezing up with the scent of fear as he kind of tilts his head back and makes direct eye contact with Ruth. And they disappear from sight.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay, so you now have the rest of your day to do whatever you need to do to finish up your planning, getting ready. So, what are you going to do?
Esther.
Yes, Dewey?
Esther, right. Those uniforms that you were doing, thank you very much for cleaning them and mending them. Let's get these handed out. Certainly we need to get a set and get ourselves sort of organised with a set to wear tonight, because I personally think it would pay. Well, we're going to have to wear them anyway. So, guys, Kieran, Ogvar, Caro, do you want to come and sort yourself out with a set of clothing that fits you?
Yes, I take it we'll wear them over the top.
Yeah, I think wear them over the top, you know, and try and disguise backpacks, gear, whatever, as much as you possibly can. You know, try and make it look like you fit in.
Okay, so you're going to do that. So you go and you can find uniforms which fit you. Esther is still kind of darning and fixing the last few items, but you each have a set which she hands to you directly, and she seems to have actually tailored you a set so they will fit you. Just by eye, she's tailored you each a set and they do fit perfectly.
Have they got pockets and things like that in them?
The breeches have pockets, yes.
Okay, Laura is going to sort through her backpack. She's going to pop back to her room. She's going to sort through her backpack. And presumably there's some basket or drawer or something in the room that she can use for the rest of her gear.
Yeah, you can just lob it on the
right. She's going to take all of the small stuff and leave all the small stuff in her backpack. Things like her tent, her winter blanket, her spare cloak, anything bulky in that respect that she doesn't need with her, like a bedroll.
Yeah.
Even a water skin. She's going to take that out and she's going to leave that in the room, leaving the backpack as slim as it can possibly be with all of the magical items, potions and scrolls and things like that that she needs. She's going to pack them as tidily into as flat a condition as she can so that it can be hidden underneath the tabard or wherever.
Yep, okay.
I'm assuming she would probably have to take off her cloak. Would she have to take off her cloak?
That's a personal decision. Right, while you're making that decision, what are the rest of you doing?
Well, I'm going to sort out my bits and pieces and have a look what potions and stuff to get and see how much I need.
Yeah, you're doing the same thing, just slowing down your kit as much as possible.
Yeah.
Yep, Ogvar?
Yeah, he's pretty much already done that. He's organised all his bits and bobs, yeah.
I think I'm probably going to make the bold decision that I don't need to take my backpack with me on the basis that it has things like tents and bedrolls in it. And all the other vital equipment is kept around my person, so.
Yeah, I've got a couple. I've got
no backpack for me.
I've got a couple of vials, a couple of potions.
Yeah, I've got some stuff, so.
Okay.
So. Alora keeps her. She's decided to keep her cloak on.
Okay. So, you've spent some time, you've probably spent half an hour to an hour kind of sorting out your stuff, making sure that you've got everything you need. What are you doing at that point?
I think Laura would say to the others, I don't think we've got a lot to do for the day, to be fair. We've got the information that we need, we know how we're getting in, we know that we're going to make a beeline for the Western Terrace, we'll go up over the steps onto the Western Terrace. We'll go up onto the Western Terrace. How do you want to take these guys out? Let's just fine tune. It won't take long because we know what we're going to do. We're going to take it. What time do you want to go in and do this?
Just after 8, I think we discussed.
Well, I think I think it's probably best after they've changed guard. So that's like just after 8 o'clock. The old guard would have gone and the new guard would have been set in place, so there probably wouldn't be many people coming round after that.
How long did it take us to travel through? I know it took us a while to travel through the tunnel because we were trying to get through grates and stuff.
It took you probably about from entry point, or to get from the church to the entry point and the entry point up into actually into Axum's grounds, it would probably take you about 45 minutes.
So we could probably knock about 10 minutes off for the... because we're not going to have to break through grates.
No, that's not including breaking through the grate.
Oh, okay, so about 45 minutes.
About 45 minutes.
Okay, so...
We can always loiter in the fountain for a bit if we get there a bit early.
Well, yeah, but I'm just thinking what time we need to set off. So if it takes around about... give or take, I reckon it's about a 45-minute trip from here to come up in the fountain area. So if you've got a changeover of guard at 8, what I reckon we should set off from here around about 7, build in an extra 15 minutes, would you reckon?
No, we don't want to arrive at the change of guard. We want them to settle for a bit, don't we? So yeah. We probably don't want to be hitting the terrace until 20 past 8:30, do we?
Oh, okay.
Give guard time to clear out.
Okay, well, why don't we set off around about 7:30 then instead?
Yes.
That's
good. So we leave here at 7:30. We travel up there. We've removed the grates and things like that. It should be a straightforward run up into the actual fountain. We've then got to get from the fountain over to the house. Now, it'll be dark, so we'll have cover of darkness, yeah?
Yes.
So, a straight run over to the western terrace. It's around about...
Well, we might as well go via the trees, maximise the amount of cover.
Yeah, okay, so it's 30 feet over to the trees.
I believe we're hopeful that from the cover of the trees, we might be able to take out guards with bows from there.
So as we come out of the fountain, there's 30 foot over to the trees towards the left-hand side, and then it's another 30 foot out of the trees on the left, back to the west terrace.
Yes, that sounds about right, yes.
So we've got cover of darkness. Is there any particular way that you actually want to do this? We're just going to go for it?
Well, we're expecting two guards on that terrace, aren't we? So we need to silence them in some way. How confident are you, Ogvar, that you could take them out from distance?
Well, I suppose it all depends on how well armoured they are, and I don't normally take things out with one shot, so I wouldn't say I would.
What do those sleepy arrows of yours do?
Well, I have two of those, yes. I could potentially shoot those, and I suppose if they are as good as promised, then yes. We may put them to sleep.
Well, can I make a suggestion? That's a good idea. But if you do that from too far a range and it doesn't work or it misses or something, bearing in mind it's dark, we've got a bit of ground to cover to stop them raising the alarm. So if we could do that, but I think we need to sneak to just below where the terrace is so that we're in very close range to them, maybe. Or even some of us sneak up to the edge of the terrace while he tries to take them out. So if it doesn't work, somebody can jump them before they can make too much noise. Thoughts? It's just an idea.
Yeah, we'd need some sort of signal then to let him know when we want them shot.
Well, okay, maybe we all just sneak up. Maybe we'll just sneak up. If we go to where the... if we can make it to the stairs...
What, half up one staircase and half up the other?
Yeah, so that they can't belt out left or right and one of them make off if something happens to the other. We need to cut them off so they can't be in touch with anyone else.
The trick is to know... I suppose we could watch from the trees and so we can work out where they are first, couldn't we?
Yeah,
it depends whereabouts on the terrace they are, because if they're walking together, then life's easy. But if one of them's over by the private room and one of them's all the way over the other end of the library.
Well, you're assuming that the lights will be on in that room, because if the lights are on, you'll be able to see their shadows, but if the lights aren't on, it is going to be dark, so we may not necessarily be able to clearly see them.
It's a pity we haven't got anything like an invisible, you know, to make us invisible.
I believe we may.
Yeah, we could all sneak onto the terrace whilst we're invisible, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Well, you
imagine.
Could sneak, provided everybody stays quiet while they're sneaking, yeah.
Well, it could... yeah, it's a pity.
If it makes sure Kewin doesn't wear his helmet.
Or if someone had a spell, maybe,
make
people
quiet. Yeah, pity there isn't a spell.
Imagine.
Yes. Well, look, I vote that we get up to the stairs. Okay, we and if that requires the use of an invisibility spell, I mean, we could always creep, and if somebody then makes a noise and draws attention, then I can use the invisibility spell that we've got.
I mean, if theoretically, if you've got sound and you've got invisibility, why take out the guards? Just go faster. Go past them.
Well, we've got to go, well, to be fair, we've got to go through a window, haven't we? They'll probably notice when we broke the window.
I have got a spell for that.
What, breaking windows?
No, I can make it quiet. Yeah, I can make it quiet.
Yeah, no, so, yeah, so...
Yeah, but...
But you, the thing is, I think we should get rid of... I think we should deal with them, put them to sleep, knock them out, do whatever. We need to... I don't think we should...
Nobody else is going to come round, are they? Because there's no other way onto that terrace. They're the only two people. So until two more people come round, or heaven forbid, the head of the guard comes to check they're doing their job properly. But I suspect he'd be more focused on the party guests in the front door. So so I think once we've dealt with them on the terrace, we're probably fairly safe then, aren't we, of not being detected while we try and go through the library window. Or one of the library windows. There's two library windows, isn't there?
So. I vote that we knock them out. We creep up to the stairs using whatever means we need to use. Only use what we need to use if we need to use it.
Well, it would make sense to go up invisible and silent, and they definitely wouldn't see us, would they? We could literally get right up to them.
Well, yeah, but just bear in mind that if you don't need to use the invisibility, I can't cast that at will. That's a scroll. Once it's cast, right?
Well, this is
so. If we needed something to make our getaway, if we don't need to use it up front, then don't use it. If we need to use it, then I can just cast it.
But what? These are the only two people we definitely know we've got to get past. We know they're definitely going to be there.
Well,
so these are the only two people we know we've got to get past. Hopefully, on the way out, we can just go Billy Big Steps, can't we?
But you can't just rely on that. You have to expect the unexpected. You can't plan for every eventuality. So, you know.
No, so we can plan for the things we know, and we will know there'll be two men on that terrace.
Yes.
So the easiest way of taking out two men, who we assume will be on their alert, is to get to as close as possible to them without being seen or heard.
Correct.
Which sounds like silence and invisibility to me.
I'm a little bit cautious about burning spells. Spells are valuable. You never know what you might need. But I'll go with the majority. Well, okay?
That's what we bought them for, wasn't it?
Yes, but we've also still got to get out, Caddo. Just remember that. Being a magic caster, magic is—it's not something to take lightly, and you can't just produce it unendingly. So if you need it later,
speak for yourself. I pray, and it comes up whenever I want it.
Yeah, whether it's useful is another matter entirely.
And your magic.
Yeah, indeed. I knew that enlarged spell was useful.
Well, if the general consensus is that's how I think we should put this to the vote. Is that how everybody wants to approach it? Does everybody want to cast invisibility, or do you want me to hang on to it and only cast it if a sound is made, if we seem to draw attention? Remember, we've got cover of darkness here. So if we can't see them, they can't necessarily see us.
Well, we won't have cover of darkness once we're onto the terrace, will we?
No, but
I mean, I think we can make the assumption that the house is going to be lit if they're having a party.
Yeah, but they won't be expecting somebody to sneak up, will they? They'll, you know, to get from the stairs to them, it doesn't matter if we make a little bit of noise, as long as we take them out. That's what really matters.
Why don't we... I would prefer, but, I mean, why don't we get to the trees and then decide from there, because that's halfway...
Whether we need it.
Whether we need it, and then... worst comes to worst, two of us can walk over in our guard uniform and bash them if worst comes to worst.
Yeah, we could get to the trees and then see if we think there's another way of doing it. Because we could use deception.
Yeah, use deception.
And just claim we're there to chat to them. It's the actual taking them out part silently.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, but they're round on the western terrace. It's a long way round to the next terrace, so you'd have to make a hell of a racket, especially with a party going on. To be fair, it's about making it up the stairs and taking them out before they can make too much sound, I would say. But I think if we can save spells, I'm all for saving, but if we need them, then I will cast them.
We'll wait till we get to the trees, then.
I think so. Right, and then when we get onto the terrace, we get these guys dealt with. The window. I don't know whether we can lockpick them. Jimmy the locks, has somebody got a bit of a crowbar that can...
We don't know if they're locked. They might just be open.
Well, they might be, yeah.
We want to go through the right-hand one, because that's closest to the stairway.
Yeah, fine. I'm easy on. Let's just see where we land and then get in through there. And I can, if it is a case of smashing a window, then I can cast Silent Portal on it, which will leave us quiet, and then we can get to whatever latch or whatever. We can get in through the doors or windows.
Is there any advantage in taking one of the rogues with us?
I don't know. Possibly. I don't know. You'd have to ask. I know they were lent to us for the purposes of reconnaissance, but I don't know whether... you can ask. I mean, you don't want to take too many people. The more people you take, the more complicated it is.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm just wondering if we need to pick locks and stuff, it might be worth taking an expert in that job.
Well,
none of us are we?
Well, I don't think...
You were very good at it when you played that game. I'm just thinking it's a slightly more pressurised situation.
Maybe, but do you want to entrust to somebody else you don't know? You're putting your life... your life in their hands, and you don't know them. You travel with us. Just a point.
Well, I've not put my entire life in their hands. I'm just asking them to open the door.
Yeah, but that's another person that's got to pass silence checks and everything else. It's another person. It's more baggage to take with you. What do you think, guys? You've been quiet.
Well, I wouldn't probably. If you can melt the lock off, and then we've got the lock grease and stuff like that, you know. I wonder if it might be a better idea to get the Cafards to make a distraction.
Well, yeah, we've got plenty of them.
On the opposite side.
We could do, couldn't we?
You know, just lob things over and be a bit of a nuisance.
Some sort of demonstration at the gate.
Ogvar, what's your take on this?
I think a distraction may be a good idea. It's certainly something I don't think I believe I thought of, so I'm all for that.
Yeah, me as well.
So we worked out, didn't we, that there were 12 guards walking the grounds. If we timed it right, we could perhaps get them somewhere near the back of the house. We could get them to set maybe some sort of distraction by setting fire to something or something, to drag those people across that way. And then if we had another distraction near the front gate, we could probably keep all 12 of those people busy, so they wouldn't see us at all.
There is one other thing. We have got another scroll. We've got a scroll of ghost sound. So, in theory, I might be able to lure one of... Split the guards by luring one of them off the terrace, maybe?
Well, that might help with the two on the terrace. I'm thinking about the 12 that are walking the wall. If we can drag them all away to somewhere else so that they're not looking anywhere near the terrace whilst we're doing that bit. Because once we're up on the terrace...
Somewhere in the land behind...
We could get some... Some to go right to the back near the pagoda, and we could get some to perhaps go and support the front gate by some demonstration at the front gate.
Yeah, I'm cool for that. It's a good distraction. It'll probably take a few minutes to sort whatever it is out.
We've only got to get up onto the terrace and through the window
that's
the only bit that you don't need to be noticed.
The party's going on at the back, which is the north, the way we're going. So if we got a distraction northeast.
Yeah.
Right, and then you're probably talking south east.
So something near the
not quite by the gates, because obviously you want the barriers there. Yes. You don't want them easy access out.
So somewhere near the east of the gate, and one to the
northeast
or east of where the party's happening. So I think probably two distractions. I assume the Cathars are still ours to use as we see fit, aren't they?
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just get them to make a. Just get them to make a distraction at a certain time, but if their distraction goes off...
Boom.
Yeah.
Colbean.
Yeah, he likes things going bang, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then we can get somebody else... If he does one of them, then we can probably get the other one. We can just get them to throw things over the fence or something, can't we? And or set fire to the wall or something.
Well, they've got that magic bag.
Oh, the blasting powder, yeah.
Blasting powder, okay, it's not going to kill anything because it only kills...
Undead, but it'd make enough noise.
It's going to make a noise.
Make a noise,
wouldn't it? Or use the flute.
That might get confused with the music of the party, I suppose. Things going bang's probably a bit more exciting. What do you reckon? Something going bang or a bit of fluty?
Oh yes, I agree.
So a couple of distractions. We can talk to the Cathars about that later, can't we? About how best they think they might achieve it. Right, so Kuhn, I think we're looking at a couple of distractions then. As you say, perhaps get Holbein to blow something up to the northeast of the house and then get somebody to using the blasting powder to make some sort of bang near the gate.
Yes, yeah, so it should pull everybody away. What do you think? Laurie, if we can get them over the other side...
Well, I think if you can create a distraction, that's only going to help, isn't it?
Yeah, well...
I mean, the less heat that's on us, the better. It's, you know, if you can draw a few of them away, it's just a few less to worry about. All we've got to do is then just concentrate on the two that we need to, well, dispatch, shelve, however you want to put it, so that we can just gain access. That's the most important thing. So, yeah, what do you think, Orpha?
Oh yes, as long as large explosions and such don't cause too much alarm. Of course, there are party guests there. And,
the last thing
you wouldn't want them to think they're under siege.
Well, the thing is, you get too many things go bang. That's the only thing. Will they just clear everybody out for safety? If they think they're like Odvar said, if they think they're under attack, you might find that the party empties and kind of could do without that.
Well, we're quite a long way away from the house, I think.
More
I think we just need to, something they need to investigate. I'm not suggesting we destroy the entire wall. I'm thinking more we throw flaming things over the
firecrackers. Well, I don't know. What if they just started an argument the other side of the wall?
The guards won't come and look at that. They'll just assume that's something happening in the city. They're only concerned about what's going on inside their fence, aren't they?
Yeah, possibly. Right, okay, so we're going to create a distraction. We're going to go in, take these two out, gain access through the doors, windows, whatever it is that's attached to the terrace.
Through the library windows.
Yep.
And then we're up the spiral staircase onto the mezzanine.
Yep.
Round to the private room.
And then
we've got to work out how we're going to get into that other room that's sort of hidden behind the private room.
Well,
now the question is
we can't have a plan for that because
we've
don't know
how
to
get
access
in.
It.
Yeah.
So that's going to be something we've got to work out on the spot.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it turns out to be some sort of trap door or something, again,
it's going to be well locked. It's going to be protected because whatever he's got in there, if it's what we think he's got in there, then he's going to have that quite safely tucked away, isn't he?
Yeah. It leads me to thinking again that we could do with an expert of dealing with locks and traps and.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm not sure that I want to trust. Put my trust in someone I don't know, but we'll go with the consensus on that. And anyway, you can't have somebody outside causing a distraction and inside as well, so it depends on...
Well, there's more than one rogue in the Cathars, isn't there?
Well, I don't know. I've not closely looked at the list that she gave you. You know, I didn't closely look at it. So we kind of decided how this is going down, yeah?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Right, well, why don't we go and find out whether they want to lend any of the Cathars for this and where the land lies with that, and then just figure out a distraction. They're not stupid.
Yes.
Yeah, we just need to give them timings, really, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure if we discuss it with Ruth, she'll know what to do.
Yeah.
Obviously, leave Gerhardt out of the discussion because he'll probably be asleep.
I think he's only interested in us sorting out the problems, the city problems. So all we can do is our best. All we can do is our best. And at the end of the day,
sunset.
If somebody is, no man left behind, right? And we come before everything else. We've got to. This isn't the only mission that we've got to do.
I mean, that does then beg the question, how long do we give it trying to work our way into this room before we realise we've been there too long? Because every minute we spend trying to break into that strong room is a minute we're likely to get detected.
Well, I think we're going to have to go with gut. I don't think you can put a time limit on it. I think you've got to go with gut.
I mean, the good news is that the only way of accessing it is through that private room, through the library. So, I mean, if we post a guard on the private room door, at least we know somebody's coming.
But it
has got direct access to that gallery, so we will have to be very quiet.
Yeah, but the one thing that you can say is that private study, it's linked to the mezzanine floor on the library. And the thing is, you've got a raised position there. If somebody's going to be coming up, you're going to get plenty of warning before they do. We're going to know somebody's going to be coming up. They've got to get up those stairs and round the mezzanine. So we've got a little bit of time.
Yeah, we have.
And there's windows in the private study. So if all else fails,
we go out the window.
Yeah, I think that's where that ladder of Sado's might come in useful.
But I think at the moment we're just strictly debating things that may not or possibly could or possibly can't. But I think we've got the basics of a plan. And it'll probably all go wrong when we get there anyway, so...
Alora's definitely going to laugh at that. So, yeah, you think?
I think so.
Right, so just to clarify... Through the sewer into the fountain, 30 foot to the trees, 30 foot to the west terrace. We're leaving at 7:30. We're going to get up onto that terrace somehow. We'll work it out when we get to the trees. We're going to deal with the two guards. We're going to have a couple of distractions to help us. We're going to go through the library window, up the spiral staircase, over the mezzanine, into the private room, and then we're going to try and work out to get through the strong room whilst we post a guard on the door so we can see if anybody's coming. And then we'll either go out the window with the magic ladder or out the way we came if there isn't anybody there. Bob's your ankle, Fanny's your aunt. Bob's a good one. Super. What's for lunch?
I think that's a plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've had a bit of a conversation. What do you want to do from this conversation before you actually go and do it?
Is that a question you really want to ask?
We're going to go and organise the distractions.
Okay.
Or at least discuss the fact that we need two groups to make a couple of distractions and where, and leave it to Ruth to organise who does what.
Okay, so you're basically, you go find Ruth, you're going to say to Ruth, right, we need two distractions.
Yep.
What time do you want the distractions?
Do we want to take two extra Cathars with us to stand, to be on the terrace pretending to be the two guards?
Yes. So leave them, when they come through with us, leave them in the tree line. We'll go and do what we need to do. When we've done what we need to do, we call them out the tree line.
We want one of them to be a rogue, just so they can help with get through the window and then leave them on the terrace.
If we struggle?
Because one of them, there was Holbein and another rogue, wasn't there?
Colbein.
Yeah, whatever his name
was.
Holbein.
Holbein, you know, the famous painter. While he's there, he can do a girl with a pearl earring. There was another rogue, wasn't there? I'm sure there was. What's happened to the list of Cathars?
It's on your whiteboard.
Yeah, but that wasn't the only one.
I think Colbein was the one that actually...
Don't you have a copy of it?
Colbein was the one that we were told enjoys blowing things up.
Mm-hmm. Colbein was the blower-upper, and the other guy was more of a stealthy, roguey person.
Well, seeing as our podcast listeners are more familiar with Colbein and nobody else, why don't we just take Colbein?
He's a bit of a liability, though, isn't he?
No, but he's the pyrotechnic.
Yeah.
Boom.
Alia and Colbein.
Oh, there you go. So if we took Alia and another. So if we take Roman and Alia, and then she can try and get through the window for us.
Right, okay. So you're going to talk to Ruth. You're going to get Roman
and
Alia
to come with us in uniforms.
So,
and then the rest are going to split into two groups to make distractions.
Okay, so you're going to get them their uniforms. They'll go to Esther. They'll grab some uniforms off them, so they'll have their they'll have uniforms on.
And we want the distractions about 8:30.
And they'll be travelling with
past,
us.
Called past, because we want them to disappear. We want the distractions to go while everyone goes.
We want the watch changer to be completely done and finished, don't we?
Yeah, well, that's why I called past.
Because they're done by
it's
8. Done by 8. So give them 15 minutes to do a bed in. Distractions for 8:15. Does that make sense? So distractions for 8:15.
Right, so you'll speak to Ruth. You'll get her to sort out two distractions at the...
Northeast and southeast.
Northeast and southeast. at 8:15. So Ruth will get those sorted. She'll split the rest of her Cathars into two groups. She'll get them to do that. Colbean looks absolutely thrilled when you say you want distractions. So, right, Gliza! Go boom!
No. No, I... Not too much boom. We don't...
Little boom!
No, we don't want people being emergency evacuated out of there. Because there's going to be loads of guests. We don't want that.
Little tiny boom. Boom?
No.
Little boom.
Tiny boom.
No, not even small boom. Just a distraction. Don't get too flamboyant with it.
Maybe a little bit of fire, perhaps. Just an equal fire. Daubing paint on a wall.
Very mini boom.
It would have to be so mini that it wasn't boom at all.
Got it, boss.
Ah,
he rubs his hands in glee and practically skips out of there.
Ruth will take charge of him. We'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm going to turn to Rob first.
I don't think he quite understands. I think there's still going to be a boom.
Well, yes, I'm going to assume that.
Yes.
Laura's going to go.
Assume the boom.
Assume the boom.
Laura's just going to touch.
Okay. So you give that info. So Ruth's going to get that sorted out. You've now got two distractions arranged for 8:15 at the northeast and southeast. You're taking Roman and Alia with you, a level 6 paladin and level 4 rogue, respectively. They're going to be uniformed. Is there anything else you want to prep before we head into the action?
Was it a level 6 paladin? Or
level 6 paladin.
Oh. Level 6 paladin.
Oh, okay.
Level 6 paladin.
Nice. It was the option of a level 5 ranger, but I thought level 6 paladin, eh?
Right, is there anything else you want to do? Because this is the death. Last orders.
Ding. That's a bell.
No, I don't think so.
I think that's pretty well. We can't, until we're through and there, we can't do an awful lot.
We are going to have to react, aren't we, to what we find.
So, you've arranged with Ruth, you're going to have Roman, a level 6 paladin, Alia, a level 4 rogue. They're going to be uniformed. They will come with you through the tunnels, into the trees and onto the terrace to replace the guards who you will be taking out.
Yeah, they will wait in the trees while we deal with the guards, and then we'll call them out of the trees to take the place of the guards on the terrace.
Yeah, okay. You've taken Alia, who's a level 4 rogue, with you because...
We can use her to, with the what's it, to open up the window.
Can aid us to open
up. Aid us to open up the window.
Okay, perfect. And then your plan is to then enter into the library, go up the stairs onto the mezzanine balcony in the library, so onto the second main floor of the house. Onto the mezzanine, you're then going to attempt to work your way into the private study, where you will then attempt to enter the dead space.
Behind it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is marked on the map, but not accessible.
Right. Mm.
And then your plan is to then escape, hopefully without causing too much attraction, back downstairs.
Out the window.
Back out your window. You're going to collect your...
Orland must be with us.
Yep.
At all times. And then get back down into the sewers.
Okay,
it's best to go through the southerly window.
So we're going to zoom forwards in time. I'm going to have a woo forwards. You will have had lunch. It would have been a hearty sandwich platter provided by Ruth. Ruth will provide you dinner before you go, as she would for all of her Cathars. Her Cathars have been busy all day running around preparing to make a distraction. You've seen them kind of grabbing like all sorts of random clothing. They're obviously disguising their identities. They're, you know, Colbean in particular is bouncing off the walls with excitement. He comes back every so often and he's covered in soot and various other dirty substances. Which you look at him and he's got this kind of crazed look in his eyes and you think it's probably best to avoid at this point.
Becoming my new favourite person.
Yep. So he seems to be running. You occasionally see him running around the corridors with these four younger Cathars who look equally as gleeful at the prospect of some form of destruction or disturbance. So it's all a bit of a buzz. Esther, bless her, is, floating around doing what she can. Soto is still... just he's parked himself in the kitchen. You occasionally, Ogvar, as you pass the kitchen door, you see him kind of stood on top of this shelf halfway up a wall with his hand in the cookie jar.
Okay.
He's literally just stood on top of the shelf holding the cookie jar in the kitchen. You're not quite sure how he's got up there, but he's up there, he's eating the cookies. You probably walk on thinking it's best not to intervene.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just generally the whole church, with the exception of Gerhardt, is abuzz with activity. They're obviously keeping on a fairly placid facade at the front, where the, you know, people occasionally coming in and whatnot. They've got a couple of Cathars just, you know, continuously stood there, just kind of
selling postcards.
Everything's fine. Yeah. Okay, so bum, we get to the early evening time. And 7:45 you're leaving?
7:30.
Okay. So 7 o'clock rolls around pretty quickly throughout the day. You've had a bit of dinner. Ruth has provided some dinner for you, so you're not gonna go in on this on an empty stomach. And 7:30 passes. What are you doing at this point? It's now 7:30, you're at the very start of your operation.
You two are going to have to lead us to the sewer, because we didn't know where we were going, do we, Olga?
No, I don't.
Right, okay. Alora, just make sure that she's got the tabard covering a fairly flat backpack as much as she can.
Yep.
Anything that is she considers as being needed at a moment's notice, she's stuffed into various pockets.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're all going to follow real order.
Yeah, so you all make your way through the city. Make me disguise checks, everyone. You're walking through the city in guardian forms.
That's a 17 all in from Alora.
13. All 13 for me as well.
It's probably going to go well. 15 for Ogvar.
Okay, yep. So as you walk through the city, the streets are fairly crowded. And you do see several guards patrolling the areas. However, with your checks, they are just about enough. You get the occasional odd-looking glance from the one, maybe one or two guards who perhaps look a bit more well put together. They've been permanent members of the city guard for a long time. But generally, the guards who look like they've just been sloppily recruited, they don't pay you any attention. They just carry on, they don't really care. And the ones who do kind of give you a second glance, they're like... But you're already gone in the crowd. You know, you don't think you've raised any suspicion. Your disguises seem to be holding up fairly well. Okay, so you get down to this grate in the floor, this manhole cover, and it's down a quite secluded alley. You're able to easily slip into the sewer pipe. Okay, so you're all now in the sewer pipe. It's again this kind of dried up, musty old, perhaps more of a water drainage pipe than sewer pipe. You've got a kind of a very thin stream of water trickling down the bottom, but the walls are kind of slimy and they're kind of mossy with lichen. Are you lighting a light to see? Alora, you can see anyway, but is anyone else lighting anything to see?
Does anybody need me to light anything to see? Can you see or?
It's pitch black.
Well, as long as you're happy to guide us, I think probably we can crocodile it, can't we? I'm quite happy to put my hand on your shoulder.
No, actually, thinking about it, there was a rat in here last time it came down. I will just cast light. Has somebody got a dagger back there? I can put light on your dagger.
I haven't got a dagger, but I've got a sword.
Oh, okay, all right.
Well, let's get down in the sewer first, so we don't try to attract any attention.
Yeah.
You are already in the sewer.
Yeah, we're in the sewer.
Oh, we're already in. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Kewin, just pass the tip of the sword over this way for me.
And here you go.
Well, Laura's going to raise her hand and just cast light onto the tip of the sword.
Yep, your sword now glows. You've got light on the end of your sword, and the tunnel is illuminated. For Caddo and Ogvar, who haven't been down this tunnel before, yeah, you can see it's kind of old, disused. It's got that kind of musty smell about it, musty dampness. And you can actually see along the bottom, you've got this kind of layer of like slimy, kind of like, it's almost like a scum, almost. And when you can see where like Alora in front of you puts her foot down and slips slightly through it, it creates like a line through it where it's just scraped away and it's left this kind of clean kind of concrete behind it. So it's just this layer of like scummy, dirty, lichen-y yuck, which is just kind of stuck to probably about halfway up the pipe.
Okay.
So it smells a little bit fausty, but other than that, it's a fairly easy run. So you all make your way up through the pipe. It gets a little steep at some points, and you do have to kind of grab onto the wall and steady yourself because it is slippery. But you make your way up and you make it to the grate in front of you.
Yeah. Okay, having seen this done before, because Alora was a little confused, she pushes the grate upwards.
Yeah.
So you've got the grate swings. She comes outside and holds it up so everybody can come through.
Yeah, so you open it up and you exit in. Sword, you...
Still glowing, yeah.
I'm going to dispel the light on the sword.
Yeah, okay. So, very quickly, it drops dark again, but as you emerge out into this fountain, you've got... It's a fairly clear night for Innistrad. You've got a decent amount of moonlight. You've probably got a dim lighting. You can just about... You can see what's in front of you, and it is still quite... It's quite early. I say it's early in the evening. It's you know, the moon's bright, and you can see a fair amount. There's probably more shadows being cast than, you know, there normally would be, but it's enough to see by. So you all emerge out into the bottom of this humongous fountain with the cracked mosaic tiles. And Ogvar and Caddo, for the first time, you see these giant sculptures of a giant hydra and a griffin and these other wild creatures on this statue.
Ogvar looks at it and just like looks at Cuid and just like thumbs to it and nods his head like, bosh.
Yeah, it must have been... Shh. Must have been quite grand. No,
I've got nods.
Do you want me to? When we get out, I thought that probably best to use that short leg of a rope from down the sewer. So, do you want me to give you a boost up to tie around a bush or what?
I'll just hold up his hand and shakes his head and struts off with his new boots on.
Yep. Okay, so I'm assuming you're probably going to have indicated to Ogvar where you kind of emerged last time, because obviously you had to check the direction you were facing.
Ogvar, have you got a rope?
Ogvar nods.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Okay, so Ogvar, you strut off with your boots that were made for walking. Yeah. Or in this case, leaping.
Leaping.
Okay.
Yeah. So I will jump out of the hole.
Yeah. So the rest of you witness something absolutely incredible, as Ogvar seemingly out of nowhere decides to walk on air.
Did you see that? Those are amazing.
It's a clever trick, isn't it?
Yeah.
I say, he's not usually that nimble.
No, he's got those boots, isn't he?
Yeah. So Ogvar, you land safely on the top in this kind of thick grass.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find something to secure a rope to?
Yeah, that's the plan, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's, you know, it's fairly easy to find some form of bush. They don't look... They're fairly strong bushes at this point. They've grown fairly thick. They've grown fairly strong. Obviously, they haven't been hacked back or, you know, tended to in a while. So, yeah, it's very easy for you to, you know, attach a rope and then dangle it over the edge, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll do that, and then as the rope's dangling down, you'll, like... Give it a bit of a flick to make like a wiggle in it, so it's not a dead straight rope.
Yep.
And then command it to rope stone to go like stone. So now there's sort of like a bit of a wiggle on it, so look almost sort of like handholds and footholds, so it's not just a straight line.
That is very clever, I like that. Okay, so as you watch Ogvar's form disappear over the top and then disappear into a bush, you then see a rope come down which flickers a bit and wiggles before solidifying into stone.
I'll go pop his head over and sort of just gesture for people to come up.
I'm going to follow. I say, oh chap, that's rather good. What? Much better than my idea.
I'll go just nods, keep him very quiet.
The party plans were fine-tuned and finalised, and as evening rolled around, our heroes had their disguises donned and were armed, ready for their heist. Upon deciding that a distraction was definitely the way forward, Colbeam, the church's destructive devotee, with his enthusiastic, if not rather reckless approach to explosives, was enlisted to create a subtle diversion, designed to draw attention away from our intrepid infiltration team. Colbean was not the only Cathar to be cashing in on the action, as Alia and Roman also accompanied the team to assist in ensuring the escapade does not end in disaster. The team traced the steps of Allura and Kuin and gained access to the Axum estate as planned. Ogvar made masterful use of his magical items by busting out some moves with his brand new boots, allowing him to leap to a ledge and successfully secure his rope of stone. Join us next week when we will find out if there are, in fact, any fatal flaws in their plan that may lie as yet undiscovered.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Having you as a listener means everything to us. So, whichever streaming service you choose to listen to us with, please give us a like, subscribe, and follow. We would love for you to join us on our Facebook or Twitter page, where you can catch up with all of our latest news. While you're waiting for the next episode of Secrets of the Silver City, why not pop over to our website, where you can read all of the information about this campaign, from backstories to setting. All of the links are in the bio of this episode. Join us again next week for the next instalment. Thank you for listening.